In a moment, you can also watch our broadcast on RNN channel. So buckle up and stay tuned on The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Here's Voice of Indonesia with the news. The Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Housing continues to promote the implementation of earthquake-resistant building standards across the country through regulations, innovation, and an integrated monitoring system. Sutaji Iwasdiki, Director of Building and Environmental Sanitation Technical Development, conveyed during a talk show organized by the National Disaster Mitigation Agency on Tuesday in Jakarta. Sutaji said the ministry has developed the Building Management Information System. He explained it allows the building, allows the building permit process to be done online and in an integrated manner, making it easier to monitor and ensuring that buildings meet technical and safety standards.
That's why the Ministry of Public Works wants the building permit process in the regions to be centralized through a one-door system, so both the timeline and the standard can be monitored at the national level.
He also stated that the ministry has developed prototype earthquake-resistant building, such as RISHA, short for Simple Healthy Instant House, and RUSPIN, or Modular Instant Panel System House, while also encouraging the public to propose their own innovations through a technical verification process or clearing. And through these efforts, the Ministry of Public Works hopes to ensure that earthquake-resistant construction can reach all levels of society and help build infrastructure that is stronger and more resilient to future disasters. Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf reported to President Prabowo Subianto on the progress of People's School or Sekolah Rakyat program during a limited meeting held in Hambalang, Bogor, West Java on Monday, June 23rd. In his report, he stated that the program is ready to be implemented.
Kepada Presiden tentang penyelenggaraan sekolah rakyat tahun ini.
We informed the President about the People's School program this year, where 100 locations with a capacity of more than 9,700 students are ready to begin, God willing, on July 14, starting with orientation. We also reported the second phase plan for this year, with another 100 locations using buildings owned by the Ministry of Manpower. If possible, both phases will be combined so that the total student capacity will exceed 20,000.
Saiful also said that all preparations are currently underway, and at the right time, President Prabowo is expected to give a briefing to school principals and teachers. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We'll be right back. Listener, you're still listening to Edit Award Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. And I'd like to welcome people who are watching from Edit channel. Enjoy our broadcast because today we'll be talking something related to Iran-Israel conflict, but in terms of its economic impact, especially about the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And I'm Steve, we'll be in here with you with those information. And to kick off our session today, we'd like to play you a very, very nice song. This one is coming from Tulus with a song titled 17 or 17. So stay tuned on Edit World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Masihkah kau mengingat di saat kita masih 17? Waktu di mana tanggal-tanggal merah terasa sungguh meriah. Masihkah kau ingat cobaan terberat kita matematika? Masihkah kau ingat lagu di radio yang merdu mengudara? Kita masih sebebas itu, rasa takut yang tak pernah mengganggu. Batas naluri bahaya, dulu tingginya lebihi logika. Bumi dan waktu yang terus berjalan menempa kita. Walau kini kita terpisah, namun jiwaku tetap di sana.
Di masa masih sebelah,
oh, di masa rasa takut yang tak pernah mengganggu. Di masa naluri bahaya, kisah kita abadi untuk selama-lamanya.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Stephanie Putri with My Hometown is Sinking, and you're still tuned to RRA World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. And as I told you in the very beginning, that today we'll be talking something related to the, how do we call it, the escalation in Iran and Israel, in which they are trying to, well, retaliate against each other. And there's also and retaliation to an effort which is blocking the Strait of Hormuz. And we have talked about this in terms of economy, like how Indonesia should react to this and what is the worst scenario, with the Vice Director of INDEF, or Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, Eko Listianto. Stay tuned on RRA World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, international concern emerges that Iran-Israel war might result in, well, so many economic impact in the world, especially the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Especially on Sunday, the Parliament of Iran approves the blockage of the Strait of Hormuz. And as we know, that big portion of global oil trade consumption depends on this trade being open. So in terms of economy, how would that affect Indonesia and what needs to be done about it? Let's talk about it with the Vice Director of INDEF, Pak Eko Listianto. Good morning, Pak Eko.
Yeah, good morning, Steve.
So as we know that the whole world, the media are talking about it in India and so many things, even recently, Pertamina has made a statement that they will reconsider alternative route for this, sir. So, regarding to this, what is the worst scenario that might happen?
If we talk the worst scenario, yeah, especially for Indonesian economy, I think, yeah, there is big impact with this situation, yeah, especially if Iran will block the Hormuz Strait. Yeah, I think the impact for the global oil price is significant. So it will also give impact for our Indonesian economy, especially because most of our oil, it's come from the other country. Yeah, we import a big portion of oil. So I think this is will make oil in our economy will also price. And when the we call BBM or petroleum will increase, it will affect for the our economies. At the same time, we still face the declining of the purchasing power. So I think it's the double effect for us.
It's gonna be a double impact for us. And talking about the oil itself, sir, Pertamina says it's going to change the route. Will that also ease or even reduce the impact of this?
Yeah, I think that statement, I think for the to make sure that there is no panic in our domestic economy. But in the reality, it's not easy to try to buy from the another country, maybe. And also, it is about the cost itself. Yeah, because if we change the resource of the oil, we will have maybe the price it also increase because the distribution cost it's different if we use the Hormuz Strait and without use Hormuz Strait, I think.
And then what needs to be done by Indonesia? As we know, it is quite, if that really happens, it's inevitable towards our economy. Are we just can only sit tight and wait for the impact? Or is there any other things that the stakeholders, the government, the companies in Indonesia can do about this?
Yeah, of course, we need to do something. Yeah, at least don't just sit and wait until the situation is normal again. We need to, I think we, especially for the government, need to try some policy that actually we need to focus on long-term goals about the our energy sovereignty, at least security, our security energy. With this, we have some plan for this to make sure that in the future we will have energy that we can support for our economy. So, if the Hormuz Strait is blocked by Iran, so I think the best solution, of course, in the short term, we need to try to find the other buyers. But in the long term, I think we need to push our alternative energy, or maybe renewable energy. We have so much biodiesel that this is also useful in this situation. And we know that in the future, I think the Middle East, it's always fluctuative. Yeah, always there is geopolitical tension in there. So I think it's better for us to make sure that our long-term plan about energy, it's done, step by step. Yeah.
And of course, dependency on one thing can be quite harmful, just like what is happening. As you said, that Middle East is always fluctuating. So where should we go? Where should we put our focus next if the Middle East is fluctuating? Can we get another sources like in Asia especially, sir? Or is there any other thing that we can do so that Indonesia and maybe in the greater aspect, which is Southeast Asia, we can be strong by ourselves?
Yeah, I think if we talk about like ASEAN or South Asia, I think Southeast Asia, I think we have chance to make sure that if we collaborate together to make strong our energy, I think there is a way, I think, in there. Yeah. But we need to a close collaboration with Singapore, Malaysia, and the other country. And especially also to push the alternative energy, not just oil, because in the Middle East, also try to make sure that in the future they also not depend on oil export.
And as long as that you have seen, sir, according to INDEF, what kind of potential that Indonesia already has that should be developed further in long term to avoid similar cases like this?
Yeah, actually we have natural gas, and also we have so many renewable energy, but of course in this time, the price and how the research and development, we need to do some policies to make sure that it will happen in the future, but actually we have the resource to do this, to make sure that in the future we have a good situation in energy.
So we have the potential, we just need to make the good plan for the long term. Okay, thank you very much, Pa Eko, for joining us in this very short talk. And we wish that the government and all stakeholders will be able to avoid or maybe to reduce the impact. Thank you very much, Pa Eko. And listener, that is Pa Eko Listianto, the Vice Director of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF. And you can listen again to this on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia.
Denting dawai menyuarakan sebuah awal kisah kehidupan yang berjalan. Detik berputar, hari dimulai mengantarkan insan ke dalam semestanya di dunia. Waktu takkan pernah mengulang dan rahasia kan menyapa tanpa salam. Dipisahkan, gugur satu, tumbuhlah berjuta cinta. Manusia bercinta melahirkan jiwa ke dunia. Sang penyair insan ke dalam semestanya di dunia. Wow.
ternyata dunia ini berakhir surga.
Lifetimes would it take to visit the every single hidden beauty in this fascinating island? For me, hundreds of times. To feel the warm welcome from the locals that makes me feel at home at their first hello. Cross the distance, to walk so many different paths and simply get lost. To get amazed by its unique forms of nature, as every inch of them is God's masterpiece. To move every part of my body as the stomping music takes me into tranquility. To cleanse my mind in the simplest way, by letting the vibes of my surrounding take control over me. To touch the coolness of afternoon breeze, reminding me once again the meaning of being free. To learn, to create, to discover, to actualize, to dream up. To find myself and ready to move forward. I finally understand the greatest and most important adventure of our lives is discovering who we really are. I found it in Sumba.
And it was Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. You are still listening to the Voice of Indonesia. And in a moment, we'd like you to listen to a story about the fish that is being used for pempek in Palembang. It's called Ikan Belida or the Belida Fish. Stay tuned on Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia.
The city's size reaches 102.47 square kilometers, with average height of 8 meters above the sea level. Palembang lies in a quite strategic location as it passes through the main road or Lintas Sumatra that connects areas on Sumatra Island. In addition, Palembang also has Musi River and Ampera Bridge that function as the means of transportation and interregional trade. Climate in Palembang is tropical, with rainfall ranging from 2,000 mm to 3,000 mm per year. Air humidity ranges from 75 to 89% with sun illumination of 45%. Soil topography is relatively superficial and low. Most of lands there, which are 0 to 20 meters above the sea level, are marshy, that they are flooded in the rainy season. Palembang people belong to Malay ethnic group and use Malay language with local dialect that is now known as Palembang language. Local people generally use Palembang language as daily language. Besides, natives, non-natives from Java, Minangkabau, Madura, Bugis, and Banjar, as well as descendants from China, Arab, and India, also live in Palembang. Listener, do you know there's an interesting thing from Palembang, which is its special traditional food? Pempek or fish cake.
Pempek kapal selam terkenal di mana-mana. Kalau makan sama cuka, alangkah lemak rasanya.
The interesting thing from Palembang is its typical traditional food, which is pempek. What is pempek? Palembang has a quite big number of Chinese communities. Foods like pempek or tekwan or soup with sago flour fish balls made from fish leave strong Chinese taste among Palembang people. Pempek is Palembang traditional food that has been popular all over Indonesia, with the local freshwater fish ikan belida and sago as the basic ingredients. Palembang people have successfully developed the basic ingredients into various kinds of pempek by varying fillings and other additional ingredients like chicken eggs, fish shell, and tahu or tofu. Various kinds of pempek in Palembang include pempek kapal selam, pempek lenjer, and so on. Palembang people usually eat pempek with blackish thick sauce made from boiled brown sugar, chili, and fried shrimp. The sauce is commonly called cuko or vinegar sauce. Here is the explanation of the Head of Information Division at Palembang Tourism Service, RM Husni, about pempek.
Pempek itu asal katanya apek-apek.
Pempek derives from the word apek-apek. Chinese people call it so. They were newly arrived in Chinese in Indonesia and male Chinese with pigtail that rode becak or pedicab. While Palembang, big people became errands. When people wanted to eat, they just asked them to buy or make food.
At first, Palembang people made food for consumption instead of for business like Chinese people wanted. First, pempek was made in Sepuluhulu, Palembang. Do you know that the basic ingredient of pempek is belida fish? About belida fish, the basic ingredients of pempek. This is what was explained by the Head of Information Section at Palembang Tourism Service, RM Husni.
Well, belida fish is number one because the fish is special for pempek. Pempek is made from sago, garama. The fish is belida or belido in Palembang language.
Merindu.
The basic ingredient of pempek is belida fish. According to people in South Sumatra, belida means a creature which is good at diplomacy. It consists of word, namely bi meaning to have and lida meaning tongue, to have a way with words. Belida fish, an Indonesian language, is also called lopis or belido. And how are the characteristics of belida fish, which is considered rare, threatened, and barely found in Musi River?
Ke mulut matonyo mejem mertuo lewat masih ditelen kecil keras sudah biasa asak bae iwaknyo teraso digoreng pake minyak kelapa jadi nambah lemak rasonyo.
Has a medium size, maximum length is 100 cm and average weight is a half to 1 kg. In the natural habitat, it can be 2 to 4 kg. Its body shape is flat with small head and its nape looks bent over. Upper jaw is far from eyes. Small scales cover its body. Scales in its back are gray, and in the front, one are silverish white. In the sides of the scales, there are wild circles like black balls. Surrounded by white circles. This is the explanation of Siddhartha Gautama from Palembang General Waters Fisheries Research Agency about Belida fish.
Belida fish has eggs with quite big diameters, and the number of eggs is not many like other fish. For instance, arowana or freshwater decorative fish has rather big eggs that the number of eggs produced is small. Some say if fish has quite big eggs, the number of eggs would be few. So Belida fish may be one of them.
Siddhartha Gautama from General Waters Fisheries Research Agency also explained that Belida fish is now rare and threatened to extinct. Siddhartha added things that cause Belida fish in the brink of extinction and no longer found in Musi River.
It is true that Belida fish is rare and hard to get. So it is impossible to use it to make pempek in Palembang. It is now substituted with other fish.
Siddhartha Gautama from the General Waters Fishery Research Agency added, though Belida fish is hard to find, one day it may emerge again in Palembang.
It is hard to find indeed, but it can be found in Kalimantan or Riau, so it does not totally extinct. In other places, there is a chance for cultivation.
Well, listener, how do people in Palembang substitute the basic ingredient of Belida fish that is about to extinct? With the rareness of Belida fish, people in Palembang use other fish to substitute the basic ingredient of pempek. Here is the statement of the head of information section at Palembang Tourism Service, R.M. Husni.
Now people in Palembang no longer use belido fish or putak, but gabus freshwater fish or ikan delek in Palembang language. It is called so because it can flow. Gabus fish on the sea is tenggiri fish or Spanish mackerel.
Do people think about the substitution of the basic ingredient of pempek from Belida fish to gabus fish? Hendri, Palembang local resident, made the following statement.
To me, gabus fish is more delicious than Belida fish.
Belida fish is considered to extinct in Palembang only. All people hold Belida fish in other areas will not extinct, so that the next generation can still see Belida fish, which is called old fish by most of Palembang people. People can also still taste the delicious typical foods from Palembang, namely pempek or fish cake, without worrying the existence of Belida fish as the basic ingredient of pempek, because other kinds of fish are equally delicious. Pleasure is not eternal. My lovely pempek, my poor Belida.
I'd like to say thank you very much for people joining the program of The Voice of Indonesia on RRINet, and more still coming on VOA News and the application RRI Digital. If you want to know more about The Voice of Indonesia, you can visit our Instagram account, VOI_official, and our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINet.
Once upon a time, the angels took bath here. In the legend of Tutumenden, 9 angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mamanuan, a young farmer. Mamanua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumaludu, became his wife. From the fated two worlds, her child was born. But one day, Mamanua made a mistake that forced Lumaludu to return to heaven. The angel said, should their child want to meet her, Mamanua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain, with the sun guiding their path. Lumaludung will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mamanua and his child took the journey until the small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of the Tutumenden ended happily ever after. And it was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupang. Away from Manado, this coastal city left a strong impression on first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill, where the light reveals the beauty of North Minahasa. Hidden behind the hills and lines of trees are the beautiful beaches of Likupang. The fresh air, the clear sky, the white sand, and the pristine water. No one can deny its temptation. Pulisan Beach is a must-see spot in Likupang. It welcomes both the calm with the trees and the adventurers with boats, taking them to some hidden gems around Pulisan. Then the darkening and yet golden sky is not the death of its beauty. The sunset in Likupang will show you its final glory once more before the night falls. That's the beauty of Likupang. Away from noises, anxiety, and deadlines. But believe me, it's always close to your heart. Come to Likupang. Come to your true home.
tantang dunia merayakan muda. Untuk satu jam saja kita hampir mati dan tahu selamatkan aku dan ku menyelamatkanmu. Sekarang aku tahu.